It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that is the true, ancient, horrible, secret reason why we can't have nice things.
Well, you always say that we can't, and I never even understood why you said that or what that meant, but...
Now you know.
How come you waited so long to explain it to me?
It's, like I said, it's secret. I mean, this is a handed down thing. When I eventually pass on and you take a new apprentice podcaster...
Why tell me now, then? Are you going somewhere?
Went to the doctor about a week ago, so...
Don't tell me that.
He was like,
don't joke about that. Come on.
If you have any special secret society things you need to
bequeath,
you might want to get that out of the way. Any ambulance?
I don't care. I'm sorry I asked.
Rituals to get cleared.
That's terrible. Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
Perhaps a trial of strength one of your younglings needs to go
It is through. Funny, but it's also terrible. As so many funny things often are.
No, actually, well, it's weird. My numbers are terrible compared to what they were. Like, everything was worse.
Oh, that's too bad.
Except my A1C.
Oh.
That's the diabetes thing.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same.
Oh.
I don't understand how, because, like, I gained a lot of weight. My cholesterol's actually up, which that almost never happens. Like, everything was bad, but then the A1C, exactly the same.
Well, that's good news, then.
That part is. That part definitely is.
I mean, because that's the immediate concern.
Yeah.
I mean, the other things are not good, but nobody is telling you that you've got heart disease or something.
Yeah.
That's just a risk factor.
Yeah. So, that part was good news. But, you know, things are going to change around here. Anyway,
yeah,
so.
Right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world, I feel fairly confident in saying, that's going to make it all the way to 300 consecutive episodes, and still, between the dual hosts, can't come up with a thing we should do for 300. What the hell is wrong with us?
I don't know.
Like, 200, we just didn't pay attention.
Yes.
But we've known this one's been coming, and we're like, you know, we could record ourselves talking.
Yeah.
That's just our usual.
Yeah, we always do that.
Yeah. What if we also had cats? No.
Nope. We've always got cats, yeah. What if a delivery guy could come in the middle?
Yeah, no.
Oh, that happens often already, sure.
And that's happening tonight, definitely, yeah. I ordered empanadas tonight from the empanada place over in Coralville. Have you tried them?
No.
You should try the empanadas. They're good. I love saying empanadas, but they're also very good. And he's got plenty of vegetarian in it. I don't know about vegan. He might have vegan ones.
Okay.
He does really good with that. Anyway, my name is Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 299.
Yeah, tonight I bumped into somebody else that shockingly didn't realize I had a podcast. And I was like, yep, every Thursday. I said, we're recording episode 299 tonight. And they were like, whoa. I was like, yeah.
Well, I think some...
Always pays to act like you've been there before.
Some people can think that's impressive because they assume that you must have skipped some. Or maybe there were several Thursdays
you didn't
do it, so... 299 would even be more impressive then, because maybe you've been doing it for 6 or 7 years. But when they realize, no, every single Thursday without interruption, that's just impressive in a different way.
Yeah. But still.
I don't know. It's kind of cool.
I do think, I mean, I'll put it this way. In no way do I find it cool, or do I take any pride in it or anything. And yet, by pure coincidence, I do tell a lot of people. Like, like that it, we've never missed one, and what specific episode it is.
Yep.
I do that a lot. Or if I'm in the mood, I'll switch to years. I'll be like, yep, like 5.5 years, haven't missed one.
Now you'd be hard-pressed to find another podcast that can say that.
I think that's true. Especially the not missing. I mean, even, like, legit professional ones I've listened to miss a week.
But there's probably a pretty good number of, like, geek culture-oriented or political-oriented podcasts where the person is totally dedicated. Every single Friday they've done it for the last 6 years. I'm sure you get that.
Yeah, I'm not willing to say we're the first to reach 300 consecutively, but again, I think we are the first to reach there and have no idea of anything.
But add that it's two that each show has the two same people in it. I mean, I can imagine
that's not true.
Well, but okay, that's true, but
there were no official changes of staff.
Well, right, like a lot of people who could make it to this far without any interruptions, they might be the only person on the podcast, so that makes it a lot easier. They can do it when they're sick. They can do it wherever they are.
Then it gets weird because it's like, yeah, it was just that little of effort. So we pulled it off. Like, I don't think you understand how small a scale this operation is.
We've had to put a lot of work into it, though. I mean, we record things ahead of time. We, you know.
Yeah, we've had to suffer from my anxiety over scheduling.
Yep.
We've definitely had that. All that being said, I think I've risked it the most often. There have been times where I'm like we know we can't do it, like where we burn the backup and then we have to switch again. But yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah, all the cats are going crazy.
They're going a little weird. Addy's doing pretty good these days. I call him Possum.
Because he plays dead?
No.
Oh.
Pawsome. Because he's really big paws.
Mm.
Possum. And because it confuses Trish.
I didn't know he had big paws.
Yeah, he's got big paws, big ears, and he's got those tufts like Maine Coons. Like, he's going to be huge.
Oh, he's going to get bigger than this?
Oh, yeah. He's only about, 6 months, and they go till about a year is when they usually hit physical maturity. So, yeah, he may give him a run for his money, especially the way he eats.
Well, all right, then.
Yeah. So, how was your Thanksgiving?
It's good. As I said, it's good. First Thanksgiving with my dad's new wife, and that went fine. It was down at the farm, dad's farm. Mm-hmm. She lives on a farm, too. We'll probably have Christmas over at her place or something.
They meet on farmersonly.com.
Something like that.
That website not long ago switched to, and it actually says on it, you don't need to be a farmer to join. And I'm like, then why is it called Farmers Only?
It was something like that. Yeah, they met there.
Oh, my
there.
Goodness.
And, it happened that some friend of hers, a relative, was telling her she should get on there to find somebody because her husband had passed away a year before or whatever, and she didn't want to do it, but she put her profile on there and signed up, and I don't remember who contacted who, but they quickly realized that they only lived, like, I don't know, 5 miles apart or something. She lives, her farm is just on the other side of the county line from Marion County, and of course he's in western Marion County. And they realized they live close together. They realized they knew all the same people. And they had all this stuff in common. And
I just saw a movie where this happened.
It's kind of funny because...
But they met in the war instead of...
The weird thing is that they lived that close together. And they knew almost all the same people. But they had never met before. It's kind of weird. But anyway, so... You know, they just hit it off, and everything's going great, and we like her, so yeah, everything went fine. And Greg's my brother got married just like a month after my dad, so she was there. She's got kids, but they were with their father. So
Alaska brother wasn't there.
No, nope. And my oldest brother he pretty much spends every Thanksgiving with his wife's family now, so okay. he wasn't there either. But it's a good time. Everything's fine.
This never helps. My mom is dedicated to the old rhyme about a daughter's a daughter for the rest of her life, but a son's just a son till he takes a wife. And I keep telling her, I'm like, that's such a dumb old saying. And then I just constantly see it, myself included. I'm like, damn it, we all have to stop doing this. Like, my sister's husband, I mean, his parents are dead now, but when they were still alive, they moved up and started hanging out with my parents. Of course, I moved out here. I'm much closer to where my in-laws are. My brother-in-law, I feel like, is doing that right now with his, because he lives closer to them.
One concerning thing down at the farm was Dad has had some thefts. A notable one was...
My brother
did. There was a sign he had out in front of his property. And this, technically, this wasn't his. The sign was put up by a county historical society.
Oh, okay.
But it was you know, right next to his mailbox. And he paid for it. He donated the money to this.
Presumably it was about his...
It's about the road that his property is on. Okay. The road that my dad lives on in Marion County is called the Crooked Road, and it's kind of a landmark because, you know, when Iowa started in the 1850s, or I think 1846 is when... Gosh, I can't believe I'm not remembering the specific date. I believe it is 1846. But anyway, when Iowa was laid out, it was... very straight and grid-like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was kind of unusual to come across a county road that wasn't straight.
Mm.
So the Crooked Road, as it was called, not very originally, I know, kind of became a bit of a landmark.
Was your dad also crooked in your house? Because I think I may have heard a poem about this place.
No. But but anyway, so the Historical Society wanted to put signs along the Crooked Road, and my dad... was sort of part of the Historical Society, and he was part of that effort, and he donated some money for certain signs, and he donated money for a sign to be put sort of right in front of his property, because as you pass my father's house, there's kind of a lane, like his house is far off the road. We've got this huge front yard, and you have to drive up kind of a lane to get to the house, but that lane used to be a road, and it's right on the township line, so the township road used to be right past that property. So the Crooked Road
was called Klein Road.
So the Crooked Road used to turn right there and go up the township line and then turn at a different place. So I think that's why Dad wanted the sign there. But somebody stole it. In Iowa transportation safety standards say that signs have to be secured in a way that if a car hits them, they'll snap, you know.
They won't
resist and damage the vehicle. And
so it makes it real easy to pick it up and take it.
Exactly. If someone just came and the way it's attached is like some little pin mechanism, and you can cut through it in a variety of ways. And I went down to the mailbox to see if I could, you know, to look at the scene of the crime, basically. And I saw where the person sort of pulled off the road, and it didn't look like they were in any hurry. It looked like they knew what they were going to do. And they just took it. And Dad thinks he's some other things have been stolen from his property, too. But, I mean, Dad's kind of a junk collector, so it's kind of hard to tell what he has and doesn't have. But he's got some pretty good reason to think that people have been taking things. So now
there used to be 63 air conditioning units out there.
So now he's pretty sure he's got to get some, you know, other than locking the place up, which when I was growing up, we never did. We didn't lock anything. We left keys in the cars and everything. But not only does he have to lock everything up now, but he feels like he's got to get some security and maybe one of those deals where you have a camera that you can tap into on your phone and stuff. And it's like, man, it's...
Mean dog.
I mean, the thing is, in rural areas, crime and drugs and poverty have all gone up quite a bit since, you know, the 70s. And it's kind of sad. Really,
I'm pretty sure that's happened everywhere since the
70s. Well, it's just that when you're someone like my dad, it wasn't like that for a really, really, really long time, and now suddenly it is. And worse than that, okay. So
I think the delivery guy's about to get here.
What happens
I
is
I don't see him, but my phone just buzzed.
People like my dad it makes them very angry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And afraid, which, you know, there's some good reason for that, because these things are happening. And then you get media outlets that are reaching out to those people and saying, hey, we understand why you're angry and why you're sad about this, because these things are happening. The problem is those same media outlets are saying, 30 years ago, you didn't have all these drugs and this crime and this and all this stuff. But guess what else you didn't have 30 years ago?
Muslims.
Immigrants.
Gays.
Gays getting married.
Hi. There you are. Trey, supper's there.
And so then...
And
so then in a classic, causation... Or a correlation isn't causation.
Elect an orange president.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, we didn't talk about politics really over Thanksgiving, because we don't do that very often. But dealing with these things going on his own farm, it's like, and knowing that he watches these news programs, again, that they talk about real problems that people like my dad's having, and correlate them to things that don't have anything to do with what's happening to my dad. And yeah, that's how we got where we're at,
yeah,
is that kind of thing happening. And I don't know what you do about it, because, the things that my father and people like him are worried about are real things. And it's good that somebody is paying attention to it and is connecting with it, but when those same people are connecting it to things that don't have anything to do with it, I don't know what has to happen. But one problem is that there aren't any media outlets that are connecting with my dad's experience and talking about the real reasons. Because the people who aren't like, say, Fox News, aren't talking about his issues at all.
Yep.
So there's no real competition there with that narrative.
I suppose if we're lucky, this could be part of that change right now, because I feel like the rest of the media and the rest of the people who consumed that media got a wake-up call that part of the country exists.
Well, maybe. But, here's the thing, though. What it leads...
Well, it wasn't a positive impression.
No. Where it leads my father is, and people like him, is it's not that they think the Republicans are going to fix their problem, because these Fox News and those people, they never talk about solutions. They don't talk about the Republicans or anyone else giving solutions. What they talk about is how the Democrats are causing the problem. Mm-hmm. And so my dad's a lifelong Republican. He's pretty disgusted with the Republicans, and he's disgusted with Donald Trump, but he's not particularly worried about or concerned about the Republicans fixing the problem. He's just concerned about the Democrats not making it worse. And so that's how he thinks, and that's how he votes, which is unfortunate, because that's not how it should be at all. But I think that's the way the Republicans like it, because that means they don't really have to come up with solutions. They don't have to do anything. As long as people are voting against the Democrats, what are they responsible for? Nothing. So yeah, it's a bad...
So, nice Thanksgiving, huh?
Well,
wonderful.
We didn't talk about any of that. There was no big arguments about it or anything.
You saved that for us.
No, yes, exactly. Basically, that's right. I go home and my dad's worried about people robbing his farm. It's like, God, that's awful. And, I'm not saying it's okay for my dad or anyone else to vote for Trump. I'm just saying that there are a lot of complications in our country that need to be addressed before this kind of stuff is going to stop happening.
And, yeah. And, I've been... like I said, I've been doing my got to keep vigilant for 4 years, but oh my God, I'm going to get so tired.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Trish is like, and then telling me the story, and she's like, but I didn't send you the link because I know you don't like to feel about stuff. Do you want it? And I was like, I really don't want it, but yes, send it to me. I need to do that. This weekend, I'm going to sit down and start doing the real numbers of these are the charities, these are the organizations, these are the dollar amounts that we're going to give them.
Well, that's a good idea.
But we're going to do a pretty significant chunk of change on some of these organizations, and also to join some of these organizations.
Very good. How was your holiday?
The holiday was wonderful, actually. sort of better than I expected. I mean, well, you heard me before. I expected it to be good, but it was really good.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was some political discussion, but although I still would have, it would have been cooler to not have it. It was just a bunch of, we were all on the same side of things, basically. Okay. So there was no arguing, there was just talking about it, and I'm like, can we not?
Did you instigate
it? And I absolutely, I don't know that I started it, but I was heavily involved. Like, I definitely kept it going.
Well, I mean, you're sort of rediscovering your political voice here. That's not bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, well, yeah, I just, I've been working on that. I'm still trying to keep such conversations to substance, and I'm not doing super good on that. And I feel really bad, because today, Cracked had an article that explained in detail why Trump was really going to hate the next 4 years, and it made me feel a lot better. And I don't mean just, like, happy for his misery. I just meant, like, for some reason that calmed me. You know? And I feel really weird that that happened, but it did make me feel a lot better.
What kind of
things? There are 7 types, and we have 2 of everything except only 1 cheese and 1 humita. But everything else, we have 2 of each.
What?
If you need to do the thing like with the chocolates and take a bite out of it and put it back, that's fine. I thought that might happen. At the place, he has a guide, which is cool, because he actually pinches the tops of the empanadas, the dough, with different patterns and put different patterns on it. So you can take one and you know what kind it is. Mm. And that's very cool. And important, again, because he has his vegetarian ones and it's not.
Right.
Yeah, so that was fun. It was a little bit jarring coming back. Sunday night and Monday were, I wasn't in a great mood. But then this week has been pretty okay. We're caught up on Westworld. Oh my god, are you caught up on Westworld? Oh my god. And now I'm pissed though, because the coworker at work that I talked to about this stuff, I noticed something that very few people seem to notice, and I told him, and he's like, oh, so that confirms the theory that blah, 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 which is a common fan theory on the internet right now, which I had been purposely avoiding. And he said it, and he's like, oops. And I was like, well, it's just a fan theory, although it does make a hell of a lot of sense. So it's one of those I may have sort of ended up having it spoiled, but I'm still very curious. And I'm extremely curious what a second season is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm already putting together, like, what my second season would look like.
Mm.
I will just say, I feel like there is no way in one episode you can do anything but the most truncated of endings for Maeve's storyline. So I feel like that could be a kind of thing you would pick up on in the second season.
Mm.
Speaking of which, she's an amazing and quite prolific actor, and I had no idea. I literally knew her as the woman who plays Carl Urban's evil wife in Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh.
And she's been around a ton.
Sure. I mean, I couldn't tell you where, but I recognize her.
Yeah, no,
very easily recognize her.
Yeah, and there was some show that somebody else watches a lot of that they were like, yeah.
Which is very good.
Yeah, yeah. And especially in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, though. The last episode and then 2 episodes before that, which is hilarious, all things considered. Just huge reveals. And then in between, a whole bunch of history that helped a lot of things
yep,
out.
Yep.
I don't... So, you know I am not big on the whole, you can do horrible things, and that as long as we see the person get punished or whatever, it makes it better
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Like, I won't justify a rape scene by saying, oh, but then we get to watch the rapist get killed gruesomely. Not into that, don't want that. Regardless, not into that at all. And there are people who've done worse things in this show. And so I can't explain it to you. But I really want Logan to die. And I really want it to be painful. And I really want it to be on screen.
Okay.
I fucking hate that dude.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I fucking hate Logan.
Hmm.
Like, worse than the Man in Black. Like, worse than... I just fucking hate Logan. So, yeah, looking forward to that, hopefully. And saw a movie last night that might be worth mentioning. It's a movie called Last Orders.
Okay.
And I don't remember what year, but it's relatively recent. And it's a simple movie. It's not an amazing movie. It's not going to change your life kind of movie. It's, I'll put it this way. Before it even started, just reading the synopsis and the cast and stuff, I'm like, this is a movie my parents would really like. And afterwards, I'm like, holy shit, this might be a movie my parents have written. It is the story of... It's like Big Chill for senior citizens. One person out of a group of friends dies, mm-hmm. and the primary story is the remaining friends are taking the ashes to the place that he wanted them scattered. But most of the movie is flashbacks to a variety of different times and places and combinations of these people, where you sort of learn their history and their interconnected relationships. And the cast is freaking Helen Mirren, so right there.
Wow, yeah.
Ray Winstone, Bob Hoskins, David Hennings. Who else was in there?
Weren't these people about the right age when The Big Chill came out?
Right?
So this is like, well, they had The Big Chill, and now they're going to have this movie.
And Michael Caine is the dead guy.
Oh.
But he's around a lot because it's
in
flashbacks.
The flashbacks.
Yeah. But some of the flashbacks go so far back they have to recast everybody, mm-hmm. which is weird because they go back to like 18, and I know what Helen Mirren looked at that age.
Yeah.
I've seen movies when she was that, and so it's very weird to me that right. I'm like, you don't look like little Helen Mirren. And I'm also very skeptical of their Michael Caine.
Okay.
Like, and don't get me wrong, Michael Caine was brought up in fairly lower class surroundings, but I'm like, for him to go from that to that, somewhere in his 30s, he got beat up a lot.
Usually a lot of drugs,
very
maybe.
Handsome, but like the nose especially had to be broken several times.
Okay.
He was quite dashing young man. But yeah, good movie. Very British, and a lot of just old guys talking and making jokes that you barely can even understand why it's a joke. And but killer performances from everybody. I think it's... I don't know, Trish and I were even just talking about it today. It's just a really interesting character study of life and relationships. And, like, the whole movie is you're learning about what this guy's relationship was to everybody in this movie. You're also learning their relationships to each other. You're also learning how each of them is grieving. Because they're very British, so they're not doing it. I mean, they're talking and things, but, like, crying or... things like that are happening in private, but you're seeing some of that, and you're also seeing all the... There's some definite, you know, bad things behind the scenes. Sad times in their life, and like, things that some of them have done that they're not telling anyone about and stuff. And you sort of have to deal with that, too, and it muddies the waters, but it's, I don't know, it's just a very interesting look at end-of-life kind of stuff. There's also a lot of stuff in there, because they were all in the military in different branches and things, but so you get some of those flashbacks. And in fact, two of the characters met in the army, bunks next to each other, and come to find out they're from the same neighborhood back home. And so that's how they became friends, because it's like, oh, we live like three blocks away. Yeah, so it's a comedy, but it's a very drama comedy.
Sure.
And it's on HBO Go right now. So Last Orders, I would recommend, you know, if you liked Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, then, you know, you'd like this. If you're my parents, you'd like this. Mom, Dad, go watch it right now. I don't think they have HBO. Yeah, that's mostly it. Final Fantasy 15 came out.
Did it?
Yep. A lot of people playing it. I'm not playing. I'll play it in like a year. I'm excited, but...
No Man's Sky had a big patch recently where there's tons of things you can do now that you couldn't do before.
Oh my god, I think you're the only people left playing No Man's Sky.
We're not. But we heard about this, and so my wife might give it a try, but she hasn't yet. You know, usually around the holidays there's some big new game we're playing.
Yeah.
Last year it was Fallout 4.
Yeah. Well, Final Fantasy 15 is a big one for most people.
Well, we were kind of hoping that we'd be playing Andromeda right now, but that's not until early next year. You know, we could play things that are out that we haven't gotten yet, like Uncharted 4, or we've heard Tomb Raider is really good.
I might have to break my rules and stop my progression and get when Andromeda comes out. I may have to get right on that.
But I mean, so far my wife's not really expressed that much interest in. I mean, we've played all the other Uncharted games, but she's not chomping at the bit for that. And we've heard so many good things about Tomb Raider, and she kind of likes Tomb Raider in general. Mm-hmm. She tried to play some of the original games and didn't like it very much because mm-hmm. they were kind of. I mean, you know, it's a game where you're playing this character that just dies a lot. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you're not going to die a lot, and she just doesn't like games like that. So. And I think she's kind of got it in her head that the new Tomb Raider is probably a lot like that too. She'd be okay if it was like Uncharted, where if you're really careful and cautious and you sort of look ahead, you can avoid dying. But in the original Tomb Raider, there was no way to do that. You were just going to have to die and go, oh, okay, well, I'll go left instead of right, and then I won't die this time.
Well, now I don't know if I should make this suggestion. I was about to recommend a game for you guys.
What's that?
Well, and I think we've talked about it before, so maybe you played it. Trine?
Yeah, we've looked at that game, yeah.
There's three of them. And it's a side scroller.
Yeah, we
played it. But it's puzzler.
Yeah, yeah. And you can play one of three characters.
There's three characters you can switch them out.
But you can co-op play too.
Yes, but the co-op play, I feel like it breaks it.
Okay.
Because we played, I got it so Trish and I could play it together. And we did for a little bit, but we weren't really into it. And then a little while later, I picked it up solo, and I ended up finishing the first one. And I'll probably play the next one. I think, because it's not where you're sharing three characters. You can each play copies.
Right.
And it, yeah, so it, I don't know, it's just weird. And I think it's a game that doesn't lend itself to, hey, can you, no, stand there. No, damn it. Right there, you know. But I will say, actually, I don't play a lot of puzzle games, but I do some. And one thing I liked about this is it really pulled off a lot of these scenarios. There's like four different equally effective ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all necessarily obvious. Because there were a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I think I'm supposed to do that, but I'm not good enough at X to do that. What if I try it this way instead?
Well, I mean, we really like Portal. That's probably my favorite property right now. And we like games like that. But you know, we played Little Big Planet, and my wife really likes it, but I didn't enjoy it that much. I mean, I enjoyed playing with her, but as far as the game and the way it works, its mechanics and its aesthetic and stuff, it didn't really thrill
me. That's why I'm trying to think how you guys would do this, because you could play a co-op, and you could try it out. I sort of envision you guys playing this one of you watching her playing, but you're helping, because there's a lot of, okay, how are we supposed to get past this? They're environmental puzzles. I mean, it's just a side scroller, but they're fairly complex in a lot of cases. I had another thing. Meaning Tic Tacs, for those of you who are questioning why you're annoyed. Over Thanksgiving, I actually read a book. Well, half of a book. I'm still working on it. It's military sci-fi, which I don't have a lot of experience with.
Okay.
And I find interesting. Because it's not, I mean, I'm not into that normally.
Right.
But it's very compelling because there's a lot of structural questions. Because there's this involved hierarchy. And there's also constant tension because the whole point of it is you're going and fighting things. Because this is very strictly, like, these guys just go out and kill aliens and stuff, so. And, at least in this series, there's a hell of a lot of, like, ethics. Our POV character kind of has issues with authority, so there's a lot of times where his ethics will trump his orders and he gets in trouble. But sometimes there's somebody who's sympathetic and helps him out, and other times they're not. And like, and so they end up having a lot of ethical conversations and things. I was surprised. It's called the Undying Mercenaries series, and it's really cool. Their whole setting of how, because this is in the future, and how it all works, and how the Galactic Empire works and stuff like that. is really interesting. And so there's also, some cool politics in it. So you can check it out. The first one, I believe, is called Steel World. I am reading the one called Dust World.
Does sound interesting.
Let's hat some things up. Unfortunately, I only have Kindle copies. Or I would like to. In fact, this might be another one of those authors who just self-promotes on Amazon. He's pretty successful, but I've discovered there are some like that.
Oh, this one is an anonymous one.
Hey, Nonny Mouse.
If they ever became fashionable for men, would you wear high heels?
Huh. Well, first of all, I have worn high heels. I assume they're asking just, like, out and about. Like, I could see myself, whether it became in fashion for men or not, wearing them in a fetish situation kind of thing. That's the only situation, like, when you want to look really sexy or whatever. But just, like, going to work? No. And really, that's how I feel like high heels should be. High heels are purely a sexual expression. And beyond that, they're ridiculous. They mess your feet up so bad if you wear them regularly.
I wear...
He doesn't wear shoes now.
I wear jeans and a t-shirt, but not because I'm a guy. Like, I'm pretty sure if I were a woman, I'd still wear the same stuff I'm wearing now, except cut for a woman. I don't feel like the reason I wear the things I wear is because it's gendered. In fact, I can appreciate a nice dress or an ensemble that a woman might be wearing. When it comes to high heel shoes, I never understand them, ever. I never understand a woman wearing them because they look so uncomfortable. I mean, they might, as a piece of art, design, I can appreciate them aesthetically, I suppose, but I can't ever, whenever I see a woman wearing them, I don't know why she's wearing them, or how that's even practical.
As part of a snappy comeback, I think, on a social media site or something, I recently had somebody enumerate all the reasons and all the benefits of wearing high heels, and as they pointed out in it, they were all incredibly simple cosmetic things, and then there were cons, were all these horrible medical problems,
but
including some pictures of like really messed up feet from wearing high heels.
What I was going to say is, while I can appreciate a well-designed dress or one that seems to work well on the person who's wearing it or whatever, I still often think, like, I would never wear a dress. I mean, if I was a woman, I would hate feeling pressure to wear a dress.
I know women who genuinely feel that way.
Yeah, and I do too.
And don't wear a dress.
I know, and people have said, well, what about a kilt? Would you wear that? No. I have no interest in wearing a kilt at all. So I wear what I wear because it's what I'm comfortable in, and I don't think my aversion to wearing high heels or a dress has anything to do with me being a guy. I don't know why women do it.
Guy or girl, if I could get away with it, I would wear a lot of dresses.
Why?
They're way more comfortable.
Really? Because they look
like having the open space. I mean, it depends. You can make them uncomfortable. The same thing with like jeans. I can wear jeans that are really uncomfortable. And
I suppose that's true.
But if I'm just wearing a fairly casual blousy dress, yeah, not a problem. I have a broomstick skirt. It's great. I sometimes think about trying to wear that to work. I'm pretty sure my boss would actually let me and possibly even encourage me to do so, but I think that would be a big enough thing that somebody higher up would be like...
Now, sometimes I see people in other cultures, men or women, wearing, like, I don't know, are they tunics? Is that what you would call them? Where they're like a shirt, but they're just so long they almost go down to their ankles or something.
No, there's a better word than tunic. It's like the heraldry term for it.
Well, anyway, something like that looks comfortable. I mean, I can see that. I can see that. But usually they're also wearing some kind of linen pants or something, and I would also feel more comfortable with that kind of thing going on, too. But like, or
I hate pants.
Or robes or something.
Pants suck.
But dresses specifically, no. Even dresses that are long.
I don't know that I'm pro dress. I'm just anti pants.
I like pants. Trousers are awesome to me. Mm. But again, I've known a lot of women who feel the same way. That they like pants. They prefer pants over dresses, and I know why, because I do too. But
pants.
But I mean,
evil invention.
I realize for most people these are very gendered things, but they're not for you, obviously, and they're not for me either. So,
well, nothing is a very gendered thing for me because I'm confused.
Do you think that you're confused, or you're just open-minded about such things?
I'm confused about whether or not that's true. When I look at what I tend to refer to as my transgenderism or my gender dysphoria. I have frequent weird theories about where they come from.
Okay.
I think I've talked about them some here. The idea that I may have a tendency towards the feminine end of the spectrum because I'm very anti the masculine end. But that may literally be where it came from originally. Or just the idea that I'm sublimating sexual desires into gender identity, and who knows.
Well, they're important questions to ask.
They are, but at this point I've decided they're academic questions.
Yeah, like, that's probably true.
But consequently, looking at myself in terms of gender is, I guess, fluid. Gender fluid is probably a good label for me. And then the gendering of everything else I look at the same way.
Yeah.
But I do fucking hate pants.
I don't just like pants, I like long pants.
Long pants. What a time long pants.
I don't know what that is.
That's Homestar. You used to know that. Finally, when he said he always thought that the Homestar wasn't wearing any pants.
Oh.
It's like, no, these are long pants. When we were in Minnesota visiting my brother, we went to a pizza place that had butcher paper on the tables and crayons so you could color. So I drew a nice picture of Trogdor, the Burninator.
The Burninator.
And my niece didn't know what the hell it was. She thought it was really cool, and she thought I made it up.
Did you tell her the truth?
I did. And I told her it was a shame that the schools weren't teaching the right things.
Yeah.
Because she should know.
It's the state of American education. The answer to the question is no, I would not.
And I would, but just when I was trying to be super sexy. They are hard to walk in. And I don't know that I do it right. Because my answer is just stay on the balls of your feet. Don't put any weight on the heel itself.
Like you're walking on tiptoes the whole time.
Basically, yeah. But I don't know that that's quite right. I haven't done it in years, so I barely can stand up on flats now. So
you know, it's, you know, with the 70s, we went through a period of time where clothing got a little less gendered. It started to get more acceptable for, like, you know, there were shoes for men that had heels on them. And, you know, some men were wearing makeup, and it wasn't quite socially acceptable, but you could see it going that way.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in the 80s, the hair thing was socially acceptable to have your hair
be actually interesting
big and
to look back
feminine, so to speak.
As little as a decade, maybe two, to anything, and like how it changed. Like a guy in the 90s, you could see a guy dressed fashionably in the 90s. Now you'd be like, he looks so feminine. But back then, he was absolutely the height of masculinity. And the 80s, more so. The 70s, totally.
Well, the thing is for me, though, is, you know, if I saw a guy and he was wearing eye makeup and maybe a skirt and heels or whatever.
Say, well, Mr. Leto, I haven't seen Suicide Squad yet, but I hear you did a fine job.
Eddie Izzard, for example.
There we go.
That doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Now, bothers me because I don't see him in drag very often anymore.
But I wouldn't do it myself because there are things about that look unpleasant. Like, when I see women all made up and wearing high heels, I think they don't look comfortable or happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they had to spend 3 hours getting ready. I mean, so it's not just, I don't have a problem with it because I'm a guy. I all the problems I have with it, I imagine a lot of women have that problem too. And I've known a lot of women who do, and we agree on.
I feel like you're defending yourself against a judgment nobody here has made.
No, I'm not. It's not a defense. It's just information. I'm just saying it.
Well, sounds an awful lot.
Why? Because I've said it three or four times.
And because you say, I'm not saying that. I'm like, nobody's saying you're saying that.
Well, I know they're not. It's just...
Well, you just say it as though somebody just said, you feel this way. You're like, I'm not saying I feel that way.
I get it, but that's not what I'm thinking.
Yes.
It's just my usual...
But we can't hear that part.
I get it. It's just my usual saying things five different ways for some reason that I don't understand. No, I'm not... I don't feel defensive about it. I'm just saying.
Well, we're proud of your lack of high heels. I'll take them. Coffee writes, what would you choose? To lose all of your past memories or never have any new ones? William is super seriously thinking about this one, guys. I don't think he's preparing an explanation of why he can't answer this. I think he's genuinely pondering. It is a pretty good one. I like this question. I think I've got it worked out pretty simply, but I do like this question.
Well, go ahead and answer it then.
I hate to say this because I love my wife and everything, but I'd much rather lose all my memories. And honestly, if you believe there is anything to the fiction that treats these kind of things... it's obvious to go that way. Because think about all the stories of amnesia that you hear. Both in terms of real life and, like, movies and stuff. It sucks, but it's never, like, just horrific. Meanwhile, what we're describing with the other thing here is Memento. That's an actual condition. I would hate that condition. At least with amnesia, I'm like, oh, I can make a bunch of new memories.
I'm kind of surprised that you would answer that way. Because there are some questions like this where your answer seems to rely on a discomfort with the uncertainty of what the consequence would be. Because if you got rid of all your old memories, but you could have new ones, you're essentially saying your whole personality and everything is going to get wiped out.
Yep, yep.
But you don't know what personality you'll have instead.
Absolutely.
So you could be a totally horrible person.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be way better.
Well, yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But when we've been faced with this kind of choice before, you've often thought, yes, I could be way better, but I could also be worse, so I'm not going to risk it, and I'm going to do the safer thing, ethically speaking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this time you're going to all go off
the
broke.
No, this is not ethics. This is it's a bit nihilist. I'm just about ready to be one of those really inefficient human batteries in the Matrix at this point. Like, I'm very much... And in this situation, I'm excluding everyone else. You know, the truth is, I probably couldn't make that decision because it would fuck up Trish, and I don't know. I would have to consult her and things like that. But just in terms of which one would I feel happy with, if I lost all my memories, first of all, I wouldn't remember that happened.
That's true.
And second of all, I'd just be a dude and go do stuff. And I'd have life. And if I turned into an asshole, I'm not hanging out with me. Other people are. So whatever, you know. To me, whatever I end up with would seem normal to me. But the other one to me is just horrific. Because... At first, I'm like, oh, yeah, I like to have all my old memories. But then I'm like, how often have I already had this discussion with you today?
Okay.
I suppose I could watch one movie just 24/7 from now on, and it would always seem new. So it'd be like when I was a teenager with Princess Bride.
Okay, but... So, does this question mean that if, let's say you... you're going to get rid of all your old memories. Once you finish the day, that day's a memory. Does that go away? And so the next morning...
Oh, no, I was treating it like in Memento.
But I remember Memento, but does that mean that if I say, all right, erase all my old memories and just let me have new ones, some of those new ones are going to become old memories, but I get to keep those?
As much as you would normally, yeah.
So all my memories are going to start... on today.
That's how I'm interpreting it.
That's probably the best way to interpret it.
Well, yeah, and okay, there's a much more succinct way to explain what I'm saying. It's 100% a quality of life issue. I feel like I have a much better life as a dude with amnesia than I do being the guy from Memento. Or Drew Barrymore from 51st Dates.
I have a feeling that the people I know would want me to pick New Memories.
I absolutely would, because I could tell you I've never seen you before in my life.
Well, I was thinking the opposite for other people. Like, they could explain who they were to me originally.
Mm.
Now, there'd be a big question whether or not I believe them, or whether or not that would work, or whether or not... But they would prefer, in their relationships with me, to be able to do that and potentially have the relationships move forward and grow, than for them to be stuck wherever
they
are.
Oh, yeah, I got a bunch like that myself. I mean, yeah. Be like, oh, that part I really fucked up? It's like, that never happened. Let's try again and not fuck up this time.
But, I mean, because you can't have growth without new memories.
But the only way that concept works, well, there's two ways, I suppose. If I would really like for you to get your memories erased so you remember something that was, like, shitty about us, there's only two reasons I would do that. One is that I'm totally going to manipulate you. I'm just going to fool you for the rest of your life. I'll either make sure you don't know about it, or I'll tell you weird details that you've forgotten that make me come out better or something. But the more common one would be, I realize since then how bad that was, and I shouldn't have done that. And so now's my chance to live a life where I don't do that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that the people who I knew, who are going to come to me and say, okay, you knew me, and they're probably going to skip the things they did to me that I didn't like.
Well, it's tricky, because unless it was a very one-on-one thing, other people are going to know.
Right, but here's the thing. I'm a pretty forgiving person. It's not going to bother me, like, beforehand. If I know that a person's going to skip over some terrible thing they did to me, I'm not going to care, because I've forgiven it. I probably don't remember it already. And forgetting, it's not going to matter to me. And I'm not going to think they're a bad person just because they don't sit there and remind me of it. So I'm not going to worry about that. And as far as someone who did something bad to me, and I, you know, it's something that's fresh, or it's something that makes me not trust them very much, and so now that person, after I have all my memories erased, they're going to skip over that, like you said, manipulate me. I'm not worried about that either, because if this person is the kind of person that has no scruples lying about such a thing, they're going to do some other thing to tick me off. And I'm going to figure out pretty quickly that I'll bet there are things that they did that they're not telling me about. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't really worry about being manipulated or being lied to, because either I don't care if I don't remember it, or if that person is a bad person, I'll figure that out eventually in my new life too. So I'm not worried about it.
So which would you pick?
Well, I'm so certain that the people I know would want me to pick the new memories, if that's what I would pick.
You went on that, but that's not the question. What would you pick?
That's what I'd pick.
Oh, because they would want you to.
Yeah.
I got a frying pan in the kitchen. I can probably give you amnesia.
But I wouldn't want to lose my own memories, of course. Because I would much rather remember my mom than things that people say about her, you know? Because nobody knows what my relationship with my mom was like except me. So all they could do is tell me what their relationship was like, and maybe things that they thought they knew about my relationship with her, but it would be gone completely. And of course, like you said, I wouldn't know the difference because it's all gone. But you know, I beforehand, in thinking about losing that, I wouldn't like that. But you know, I don't live my life for people who are gone. I live my life for people who are here. And if that choice is going to be the best for the people that are here, that's what I would choose.
Okay, I'm feeling a weird sense of obligation to our listeners, which is odd because I don't feel this very often. I may have exaggerated when I said I was having a really good week. A lot of it is good, but I do have some... There's some stuff going on with my medical stuff going on with my family that I'm not ready to talk about that yet. But which is a good idea anyway, because it's a waiting on test results
thing.
And more appointments happening and stuff. But yeah, there's some stuff going on in my close family that is not Trish or me, but in my immediate family that has preoccupied me a little bit. So sorry, when you were talking about your family and your mom dying, I was like, and I felt like it's weird to just be like, no, I had a great week. I don't like lying to you guys if I think you're actually going to believe it. That's no fun.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope everything works out.
Me too. We'll see. All right, that's about all the time we have, children. I have to find out whether or not... Well, and we have to talk about scheduling for the Thursday before Christmas.
Okay.
It might be fine, or I might be on the road. So.
Okay.
But we'll see. But that's not... I mean, next week is next week, so... Got plenty of time. Remember to enjoy yourselves, children. And I have no idea where I'm going with this children sign-off thing. I think it's a South Park chef thing.
Okay.
Hello, children! God, that's the worst. I apologize to Isaac Hayes for the worst Isaac Hayes impression ever.
He doesn't know.
I think I sounded more like the Green Giant. No, he listens. regularly.
I thought he was deceased.
Oh, did he finally? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Is Isaac Hayes dead?
Or maybe.
Who am I asking?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe.
Who am I asking?
Maybe he's not. Maybe that's a stupid thing for me to say.
If you know if Isaac Hayes is alive or not.
Sorry if he's not. I really apologize for that.
Check this shit out.
I don't know where I got that idea, but.
This is awesome.
Because he stopped working for them, but then I thought he passed away, but.
Okay, Google. Is Isaac Hayes dead?
You can just do that.
He died in 2008.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think during Thanksgiving, I did this with like 12 different people. It kept coming up, like Ann Mira. First of all, it was who was married to Jerry Stiller. Is she still alive? Speaking of which, real quick, RIP Ron Glass.
Ron Glass?
Ron Glass died.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it was weird. He died the day I was watching for the first time in ages an episode of Barney Miller, and he was not on it. So now it's become a spooky thing. Like, he had already left. I don't know. Somebody was just talking about somebody else who died recently, and I was more okay with that. And I was like, I don't know what it is, because it's not long like Ron Glass was young, or that I have any expectation or desire to see Firefly get rebooted at this point. It's been too long, people. It was wonderful. We need to move on. But I feel... I felt like he was about to, like, still do things. I felt like he was on the verge of more stuff. And his later career, I've really liked.
The woman... Oh, shoot. Why can I never remember her name? She was the mom in the Brady Bunch.
Florence Henderson. Yeah, that is exactly the one. Yeah. That is the one. And I was like, I feel bad about that, but I feel like... We'd gotten everything we could have out of Florence Henderson. She's just doing cameos and weird teen comedies now. I mean, not that I wanted her dead, but I'm just like, I'm not like, oh, too soon, really, you know. So on that cheerful note.
Sorry, everybody.
Let's just call the episode Isaac Hayes is Dead.
So at least I remembered right. I wasn't.
Well done.
No, because usually I don't remember things.
Remember that time William killed Isaac Hayes?
Just by remembering he was
exactly
dead.
He was alive till then. All right, children. I promise to stop doing this after this episode because I'm offending myself here. So,
okay.
Good night and okay.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.